5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk. It is I, Stephen Scott, back with you along with my friends. Tim Schwartz is here from lifeafterblindness.com. Hello to you, Tim.
Hello, Stephen Scott. How are you today?
Oh, I'm here. Is that enough?
That's all I can ask for, Stephen. That's all I can ask for.
Robin Christofferson's also here. Are you here, Robin Christofferson, from AbilityNet? Lord Christofferson?
I am, thank you, Stephen. How are you doing?
Why am I not a lord? I want to be a lord.
I'm not a lord.
What do you get with being a lord? Is there anything you get? I know you're not really a lord, but you know, what do you get with being a lord? That's my question.
I think I would be able to move into Warwick Castle.
But you're right, because you live in Warwick, so you could live in...
Yeah, barge my way in, show my pass, yeah.
Right, okay.
Lordly pass, yep.
Lordly pass. Oh, it's going to be fun. Yeah, I can't wait to be a lord. Not. Look, lots to talk about today. You can tell there's not much tech news because we're talking about being a lord. There isn't. Look, I mean, to be honest, guys, I wanted to talk a lot about Windows 11. But
there isn't a lot to talk about, so.
Yeah.
Well, okay. If you can see, it's going to be great. If you can't see... Not much to talk about, I'm afraid. Yeah. No, not a lot of new, hardly any new narrator features. Nothing new in terms of magnifier. And I have to say, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing, if
it's
I'm
not.
Honest. No.
Because I mean, functionally, it's going to be very similar, feel similar to us that use a screen reader.
Yeah.
So I think that that's actually a positive. There's no bad thing about that. And, you know, if any new features or things that just work better under the hood, great. And functionally, it works the same. Great. So, yeah, I'm not mad at it.
No, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at it either.
I mean, apparently, it looks very nice.
And so they say.
Performance improvements, apparently. I don't know, because I always thought it was just a kind of, like you said, presentational refresh, you know. But, people are saying it should be Windows 10.5, really.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it doesn't feel like a brand new operating system. But again, I think that's maybe not a bad thing. And, you know, if it is a few changes of the operating system overall, more integration of Teams, if you think that Teams is a consumer product, which I don't, you know,
although
then great.
It is the consumer version of Teams, isn't it?
But it's the name. The name doesn't work for me. Oh, someone Teams me today. That doesn't feel right.
Yeah, there's variations of that we said off air to each other last week, and it's like none of these work. This is all bad, inappropriate.
Yeah.
There's no good way. I think one of us said, or I might have been me that said, you know, Skyping. I could Skype you, or someone Skyped me.
Yeah.
That kind of made sense, but not with the word Teams. It just doesn't work. Consumer wise, they need something else.
If your brand has turned into a verb, you know, I'll Google that, then right. You're on to a winner.
Uber.
I don't think you should drop that lightly, but yeah.
Yep. I agree.
You know, the one that always got me, I remember years ago, you were told you couldn't say the word, especially on radio, you couldn't say the word Hoover. It was vacuum. But, you know, in the UK, that was the thing people would say, I must Hoover the house. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, that wasn't what you meant. You know, you meant you were vacuuming the house, but no one said that. It's funny how some things just catch on, but Teams doesn't do it for me. And also, it just doesn't sound like a consumer thing. You know, I don't know what the right word is, but a lot of people are saying the right word is Skype. That's really what it should have been. Yeah, they should have developed the consumer version of Teams should be Skype. That would make sense.
But I think they were trying to get away from that brand to try to show that they were moving forward and had new technology. And there was maybe some, I don't know, some ill-fated opinions with Skype. I don't know.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. It was never the best brand. It didn't always have the best of... I mean, I'll be honest, when I think of Skype, I think of shoddy call quality. I will say one thing, though. Weirdly, in broadcast, Skype is very well thought of, and it's used quite a lot. I don't know why that is.
Oh, yeah.
Even
in an office environment, a business version of Skype was okay. You know, I used it for quite a while in my prior, you know, employment, and it was fine. It worked well. But if I'm thinking of contacting one or more people in my family or of my friends, I'm not immediately thinking Teams. It just, it's just not going to happen.
Well, look, we're going to get into your emails today. Lots to talk about on the emails, of course. We'll get to those. But actually, this week, we're going to focus... This is how little news there is. We're going to talk about Android. What's happening is we're going to talk about an app that came to my attention recently called VoxMate. And one of the main people behind the app, Gleb, got in touch with me via email to say, listen, you know, I'd love to tell you all about VoxMate and what it's like. And I thought, well, let's get him on. Let's talk to Gleb from VoxMate about the app and what it is. Think Synaptic is the way I would look at it. Think about Synaptic and think about how that app takes over an Android phone and becomes your main way of operating your device. It's a much simpler, some would argue basic. I might even argue basic. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but I think maybe stepping stone is maybe a better way of putting it, in the sense of that it helps you get used to using a smartphone without having to deal with the challenges of TalkBack or VoiceOver on the iPhone. You know, it gives you a chance to just, you know, get to grips in a very simple way with the smartphone and using gestures and all of that. Well, Gleb is with us now. So that's my first question to you, I guess, Gleb. How does this compare to that vanilla experience of Android?
Well, it has very little in common with the vanilla experience.
Okay.
So VoxMate is an Android app, but it kind of takes over the phone a little bit, especially if you let it. So this is personal preference for people, but if you let it, it can be your launcher, it can take phone calls and so on. But it's an Android app, first and foremost. For people with sight loss, that's intuitive to use, and you can get started with just 4 swipe gestures. So you go up, down, left, and right, and this metaphor is very robust, and it can allow you to do a lot of stuff. Like, we have fully accessible content from news to OCR to games, and we made it from the ground up as an audio-first experience without any visual metaphors to kind of muddy the waters.
So what's on the screen when all this is going on?
Well, ideally nothing to save your battery. You know, it's talking to you. VoxMate is self-voicing, so it doesn't use the same voice as TalkBack might use or VoiceOver might use. Initially, there's text for people who want that sort of thing, and it kind of makes a good transitional feeling for some people. But you can turn all of that off, and you'll just have a blank screen, and you can go up and down to choose a function, and then you can activate that function by swiping right. We've pleasantly surprised how easy it is for a lot of people to learn, especially older people. And we are optimistic that VoxMate has something for everyone.
So if I was to download this app and I was to start using it, now I don't know if I would not call myself a power user. I'm an iPhone user. I use VoiceOver. I've got to grips with, you know, a fair amount of VoiceOver. And that's partly because with Apple, that really is the only way to get into it. You don't get the ability to have apps like VoxMate run on an iPhone. Because of the way iPhone and Apple operate. So I've always used VoiceOver and I've got into that way of doing things. So if I was to pick this up, would it feel really simple to me? Would it feel a bit too basic? Or there, I'm using that word again. But would it feel like that? Or do you think that I would actually be able to do all the things I do every day, like email, like Facebook, Twitter?
So for people who are already comfortable with screen readers, we offer an audio first experience for some services. We're getting, you know, all these services on board one at a time. So now, right now we have, for example, Telegram, YouTube, we have some games and so on. And we're offering people like you, you know, a better experience with these applications. There's less fluff, you know, less you know, meaningless statements from the robot voice, but more content. And we kind of try to keep that metaphor going. But VoxMate is intended primarily for people who are having trouble with VoiceOver or prefer not to use it because it's so cumbersome, so easy to get lost. So for people who are completely new, we offer apps like news, podcasts, audiobooks, and radio. Just your basic set of applications that gets you kind of going. We call this the entertainment suite. And we're going to be improving those as well over time, including more audiobooks providers, more radio stations, and so on. We also offer tools like OCR. You can make a memo. And there's this, we're collaborating with a company called Henshaw's. And we offer the Knowledge Village. You know, it's like reference material for people who are just learning to, who are finding their way in this new world. And so it kind of creates this welcoming environment. And as you learn, as you progress, then you can, you know, get to the other parts of Voxmate. So there's an audio forum, for example, where you can chat, use your voice to chat with other people. There's games. You can play Sudoku, Mathdoku, things like that. And then there's even network games like Four Colors, where you can, you know, challenge somebody online. So it kind of has this stepping stone metaphor all the way through. And when you're ready, I think you'll be using Voxmate together with TalkBack. We support that as well. You can even enable TalkBack at the same time and use Voxmate. Then you'll just have to use two fingers to swipe up and down, and so that TalkBack doesn't take over. But and as you kind of learn and mature, then you can kind of, you know, use Voxmate less maybe and start using it specifically for things that you like. Maybe you like our YouTube experience, or maybe you like our basic dialer experience, and then maybe you'll just keep using those things. But for us, we actually want to, you know, build Voxmate out. We have a big vision for what we can do, you know, downstream for people like you as well. We just have to get started somewhere, and our initial offering is, as you would say, more basic, and I would say more accessible, more of a stepping stone.
Yeah, I don't mean to be offensive by saying basic. I really don't. It's just, I think what I imagine is a lot of people listening to this might be saying, okay, why would I switch to this when, you know, I've got the iPhone, when I've learned these commands? What you're saying is it's not a simpler experience, although it may well appear that way, but it actually is just a more accessible experience. We all know with VoiceOver, we all know with TalkBack how much verbosity there is and how much the OS talks to us, which can be quite frustrating. Of course, at the end of the day, all these operating systems are built to be visual. And however you look at it, you know, accessibility has been added on. It may have been built alongside or whatever, but it's still an added-on experience because the visuals come first. Your app does it the other way around. It says, no, we're audio first. And that's intriguing. And I like the idea, I think a lot of people will like this, that you're talking about building it out. You're looking to do more. And, of course, you can only do one step at a time, right? So it's going to take time to do this. But, you know, having that vision to do that, I think, is good, because you're absolutely right. This is for people who are new to smartphones. In my mind, someone who's newer to a smartphone, instead of going straight to TalkBack or straight to VoiceOver, this is probably the best kind of place to start. Now, of course, we have to say Synaptic is another alternative to that, and that's another option. And there are, you know, even if Samsung, for example, has got Easy Mode, which is not quite as simple, but, you know, and I would say is much more visual. If you've got low vision, if you are coming to a smartphone for the first time, Easy Mode can be really useful because it makes everything a lot bigger on screen, puts less buttons on the screen, far more visual. But I think this is really good, and I think it just, I wanted to let people know about it. I'm glad you came on to talk about it. In terms of that building out, you talked about the experience there, and one of the things I heard you pick up on, what you said was, when you want to activate something, you'll swipe right. Now, for a lot of us, double tapping is the thing we do, right? We double tap on everything when we want to activate something, whether it's Android or whether it's Apple. Is there a danger, and I'm just picking up on that one thing, so, you know, you may correct me here, but is there a danger that if we don't create a similar experience from your app to, say, TalkBack or VoiceOver, in that stepping stone metaphor, do we then run the risk of teaching people, you know, essentially some bad habits, you know, off the bat?
Well, first of all, double tap works on Voxmate as well. For most things that you can activate with double tap also.
Okay.
Double tap on Voxmate has a slightly different meaning, more akin to the options menu in TalkBack, So that's an L shape of sorts, a gamma shape that you draw on the screen on, in TalkBack. That opens up a menu of options that you can enact on that particular item. So that's the matter. But if there's just one option, then we activate that, pre-activate that for you. If it's a hyperlink, for example, and you want to open it, then double tapping, that's probably where you get. But suppose it's a more complicated item. Let's say in an audio forum, you might have a thread. Now you might want to do several things to that thread, and different people might have, you know, a different relationship with that thread. You may be the thread owner. I might be the administrator of the forum. So when I double tap the thread, it gives me the options. The first option is going to be open the thread, and the right swipe activates that option. So yes, there's going to be some adjustment. I would definitely agree that it would be best to kind of figure out the best possible way to kind of keep these things as synced up as possible. And we've really tried to do that as best we can, while at the same time keeping the learning curve as gentle as possible. So when we introduce Voxmate to someone new, we give them the phone and we try to explain the way it works. And this might be a very... a person who has not used phones in a very long time, who has no idea about how smartphones work altogether. And we need to get through to that person. And so we need to limit the number of gestures to a bare minimum.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And that's the starting point. And I've given Voxmate to some people who do not instinctively have a concept of a swipe figured out. Like for example, somebody would use their finger to, you know, to clean the screen almost, you know, and that to them, that's a swipe. And so we start with the idea that we want these people to have a solution also. And then we kind of build on top the idea that we can also make it a nice stepping stone into TalkBack, into VoiceOver. So some of the gestures are going to be similar, some of the gestures are going to be different. But on the whole, I think if you get comfortable with Voxmate, you could kind of start feeling that it's okay to have a foray into getting, you know, maybe some other functionality from TalkBack and VoiceOver. And learning becomes easier with time as well. So if you're hit with a... you know, that's why we don't teach children calculus in school. You know, it's not that difficult, but you need some kind of background to get on top.
So if I was to download this, and after we talk, I will be downloading this app. What is my experience? Does it take over the phone, or is it something I can just come in and out of as I see fit? Or can I set it to automatically take over the phone if I wanted it to, so that every time I turn on my Android phone, there it is?
So yeah, as a person who is comfortable with a screen reader, you probably don't want Voxmate to take over anything. You want to check it out, you want to use maybe apps that make sense for you. So it doesn't take over the phone automatically. It doesn't even offer to do that initially. You'll have to pick that option. So we'll go through a setup. It'll ask you for permissions for things like using your camera for OCR, using your microphone, you know, to record audio. And then you'll just be in Voxmate, and it'll be as if it was any other app on your phone. When you open it up, it'll just be there. And if you close it down, it'll go away. You can configure it to take over what is colloquially called Launcher on Android, but is actually, I think, called Home Application by developers and such.
Okay.
So that means that you can start other applications from Voxmate, and it kind of takes over to some degree. You can also set Voxmate to take over your dialer, and that means that you get your phone calls through Voxmate, and so on. It's all optional. You can configure it the way you like it.
This is why Android's so much better for this, isn't it? Because you couldn't do that with iPhone.
So we started with Android with a vision that we also want to kind of take over the home app functionality, because for most people who are just, you know, struggling with sight loss, the problem would be, okay, fine, I have a phone, I have Voxmed on it, I want to get in it. How do I do that exactly? So we wanted to solve that problem. However, a lot of people, people who are struggling with low vision are introduced to iPhones initially because, you know, basically, Apple has done a better job to date with accessibility. That's the bottom line. And so we are working on an iOS version. It will be limited. It won't be able to take over your home screen. It won't be able to, you know, take phone calls. It will be, you will be able to, you know, read the news, listen to podcasts, and so on. We're working on that version. It'll take us some time to get there. But Android sure allows users to get a much better control of their phone.
I mean, I do like the idea of your suggestion, and I think this is a good way to look at it. For a lot of us, we're used to hearing about apps. And even if you're not entirely sure what apps are or, you know, how they function, very quickly you'll come around to the idea of what apps are, you know, essentially little pockets of product that you can dip into to, you know, for example, watch videos and make video calls or, you know, get on social media. You need an app to do that. So it might be Twitter, it might be Facebook, it might be YouTube, it might be whatever it is. And in Voxmate's case, you've got Reddit, you've got the audio forum, you've got, you know, the chat function, which allows them to contact you directly, which is kind of cool. I think this is what's really cool. I like the idea of if I like the experience of using this particular app on Voxmate, I can just do that. I don't have to, you know, live within Voxmate. But for those who are living within Voxmate, they get the joy of that experience. So it kind of works for everybody then.
Well, kind of, yes, especially if you consider our next big move and we want to open up Voxmate to, you know, external developers, then you can see all kinds of things being more sensible, like maybe somebody wants to program their own garage door opener, and then you'll have it in Voxmate. It's just a function that does the thing for you that you want. And maybe somebody will want to make a better news application than the one we made. And that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. So the big vision for us is to create this ecosystem of audio-first applications. It's no easy task because we need to, you know, find a way to get there. And our initial idea is that we will make some of these applications. Hopefully people will like these applications. And then we can get going from there. But our next big thing is we're going to be opening up the platform. It's also going to take some time, but this is our big differentiator against Synaptic and, you know, tools of that nature as well. Voxmate, for example, already offers next generation of audio first applications compared to Synaptic. For example, we have instant delivery of applications. You can think of Voxmate as a sort of a browser that every time you visit a web page, it gets the new version of that web page. Every time you visit an audio app in Voxmate, if it's been updated, you'll get the new version. And it kind of has this evergreen metaphor. Because one thing we know is a lot of software in accessibility is what they call abandonware. You know, people create it, it's kind of hard to keep it going, and then they abandon it. So we want to have a clear way to, you know, keep the software green, evergreen, and we want to maintain it over time. So when something stops, you know, working, we can fix it and we can push the update in such a way that everybody gets the new version as quickly as possible. So basically doubling down on technology and advances in technology over the last 10, 20 years, really. I mean, very few accessibility technology that's being used right now. It's a shame, really. I think what I want from Voxmate is to be on that technological edge as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all agree that, you know, as technology becomes more complicated, as smartphones become smarter and all the rest of it, that accessibility will always be struggling to keep up with that. And, you know, the accessibility teams, even at companies like Apple, are not huge. They're not huge teams, unlike the development teams behind the actual operating system. Even, you know, specific areas of the operating system will have far more teams behind them and people behind them than the accessibility teams. So that's the reality of it. So, you know, I guess the question you must hate getting asked the most by people like me is, okay, so why are you putting Twitter on there? Why are you putting Facebook on there? Because I think a lot of us, if we're honest, find Twitter and Facebook complicated, difficult, verbose. On the PC side, for example, there have been a number of attempts to make it easier through the Chicken Nugget application or Quinter or most recently Tweezcake. These applications try and make the Twitter experience more accessible and go some way to do that, but still lack a lot of the core functionality that perhaps you might want. It's clearly a challenge, you know, and same on the Mac with Twitterific, and the same on the iPhone and on Android with specific apps as well. Is it in your mind to try and take that challenge on too through Voxmate?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We've already had a small Twitter prototype built, and it works quite okay. We'll just need to polish. You know, it's hard to make software, and we're a small team. We're trying to battle maybe a little bit too many battles at the moment, but we're getting there. We want to make Twitter more accessible. In this view of accessibility that Voxmate has, we want to make Facebook more accessible in the same kind of way. And we want to give tools to developers to maybe reimagine that accessibility as well. So let's say the way I will make the Twitter client might not agree with you, but somebody else might make a better Twitter client. And I think if it's easy enough to make those clients, then I think we'll get somewhere, and that's what we've been working on for so long and so hard, to make audio first software easy to write. That's the biggest behind the scenes thing that we're working on.
You see, what I think is interesting about what you're doing here, I think back to Voreal. I don't know if you're aware of Voreal, which it was a social network, audio first. And the problem with it wasn't Twitter, it wasn't Facebook. People are using those services. And I think what people might want is access to those services. I mean, for example, Facebook. I imagine there are many older people who just want to spy on what their grandkids are up to. I know my mother, you know, follows everything I do on Facebook. I'm very rarely on it, but, you know, when I am on it, she'll say, oh, I saw you did this, or I saw you were at this place, or, you know, she just likes to keep an eye on what I'm doing. And, you know, blind grandmothers, blind mothers want to do the same, right? So it's no different. But you want to do it in the most accessible way. And whilst a lot of these apps are accessible for people who are new to this platform, because this is the thing. I mean, you have to think about this from every aspect, right? If you're new to this, you're new to everything. You're new to the operating system. You're new to the functions and the swipes, and you're new to, and then you've got to learn how Facebook works, and then how this works. And it's just an endless game of discovery, which for some people can be overwhelming. And I guess what you're wanting to do is make all of that process simpler so that people can get to the applications through less learning and more function.
Well, that's just right. And I think, you know, maybe we need to start talking about degrees of accessibility as well. If an app is accessible to a person who is really comfortable using VoiceOver, they would say, you know, the app is accessible, the developer has done a great job, everybody should learn VoiceOver. But that's kind of missing the point that some people can't. You know, it's just too difficult. And might be easier with a stepping stone, or it might be completely impossible. And we need to talk about accessibility as a gradient of sorts. Voxmate might be too difficult for some people also, but at least we're trying to lower the ramp, make the angle a little bit less steep. But we also have this vision that incorporating more and more technology and, you know, using that technology in a smart way to lower the barrier to entry might create a new wave of accessible software, which is something that we want to explore very much.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I agree with you that entry point just being a little bit less steep for some people would be beneficial, without a shadow of a doubt. Now, obviously, to do all this, you know, you can't do it for free. You know, you've got to pay pay the bills, keep the lights on, keep the food, you know, in the mouths of your family. So, you know, there is a cost attached to this. Talk us through that.
Well, we want VoxMate to be available to people who need it. So VoxMate is free to use for a while, but for some features like better voices and, you know, if you wanted to start apps and so on, we offer a subscription and it costs £3 a month or $4 something Canadian. And that's the model that we're going with right now. We're also looking for funding, you know, that's, you know, the VC track we're on. And right now we offer a great early access deal. If you come on board today, you can keep the price forever going forward. So that's the gist of it. And you can get VoxMate on Google Play today.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. It really is an interesting app. I strongly encourage people to go try it. I am going to as well. I'll be honest, I find TalkBack irritating. So, and you know, I get an endless arguments with people about this one. Whenever I say that to people, they always think I'm slamming Android, and I'm not. It's just I personally have had issues with TalkBack. And for that reason, apps like this are more interesting to me on the Android side, especially, I mean, I have to say, that Audio Forum app, I'm really keen to try out. I love audio apps. I mean, I use, for example, WhatsApp, and I use the voice recorder side of it, or the voice messaging side of it. And I much prefer that to having to type out messages all the time. So this really intrigues me how that works. So I'm really looking forward to trying it out. And yeah, well, I'm sure our audience will too, and we'll come back and tell you what they think. Because actually, just one more question on that, actually, just as I remind myself to ask you this, because I know this will come up in conversation down the line. What can you use this on? Is there like an entry point phone that you're kind of working on here, or, you know, can pretty much any Android phone take it?
So when we develop VoxMate, we keep in mind that some people might just buy a phone, you know, to get started with VoxMate. And the cheapest Samsung phone that you can find is A2 something. It costs about $100 here where I live, and that should run VoxMate just fine. Usually phones up to 4 or 5 year old phones should work just fine. So I encourage you to give it a try. If you can't see it in the Google Play Store, on Google Play, then it might not work for you. So there's that to keep in mind.
Oh, so if it's not in the store when you search for it.
Right, then it might be that
it's too old.
Google, yeah, exactly, Google decided that to not even bother showing you the app
interesting
that you can't use.
Well, that's helpful though. That's actually the best way to do it, right? If it's not on your available. But I do think about a lot of people who buy cheaper Android phones, and I have to say, some of the cheaper Android phones I've experienced are actually better. I have better experiences with those than I do with the top end. I've got a Samsung S21 that Samsung sent me out to play with, and I still prefer the Motorola G5, G6, G7 range of phones, because they just, to me, the screen is better for swiping. It's not quite as slidey. So, you know, those older phones are actually useful. I mean, I say, no, some of them aren't even older. Some of them are newer, but they're much more affordable to buy out,
right,
or, you know, you can get second hand or whatever else.
And VoxMate is not that demanding, because it's an audio first experience. It doesn't draw too much on the screen, and usually that's where the CPU power goes as well. So something to keep in mind.
Okay.
But
so
another, just to comment on something you said, that you prefer voiceover to talk back. I think there's a problem in thinking that way, just in terms of competition, right? All software, all companies develop much, much faster, much, much better if they're on par, you know, competing with each other. And yes, Apple is doing better at the moment, but if left to its own devices, it would also stagnate. So it's really good to have, you know, parity, at least two companies fighting for your business. And I'm hoping that Google will improve, and I'm hoping that more people will try accessibility on Android and try VoxMate on Android. And I understand that it's just that way, that Apple has the lead here. But I think we need to give Google some tough love and, try to get them competing in this field as well.
Well, yeah, and I have to say, you know, everything I say is from my own perspective. It's not from any kind of evidence-based, well, you know, I know for a fact more people use Apple than... I don't think that's actually true. I think there's probably a huge amount of Android users out there who are using TalkBack and, you know, using it, loving it, liking it, whatever, right? I mean, it's... And I think that it's an interesting conversation. I've tried to veer away nowadays from the Apple versus Android debate because I think they're both on enough of a par. I would argue these days, being a VoiceOver user, that VoiceOver itself could do with some tough love. And the VoiceOver team could do some tough love. It's not perfect anymore, you know, and it never was perfect in fairness. But, you know, we are becoming more demanding as a customer base, I think, and quite rightly so. And I think, you know, Android is really on the heels. I'd say that they are together on a par. I would say that. And I think if you were to pick up either or today, you'd get on fine. The reality is, for people like me, is that I started with iPhone. If I had started with Android, I think I'd be saying the exact opposite of what I'm saying today. I'd be saying how wonderful Android is. And there's a lot of reasons to love Android. You know, the flexibility, the customization, the ability to change your launcher, to have VoxMate run as the main launcher for the thing rather than having to go into the phone and then find my way to it. There's a lot of reasons to love Android. But it's just I've come from and only used Apple products, even computers back in the day. That's all I've ever used. So for me, that's what I'm used to. But for many who are making a decision today, and we also have to remember, cost is a big player in this. A lot of people can't go out and afford 400 quid even for the iPhone SE. So, you know, you've got to think about that and what the entry points are. And I remember being schooled by someone from Kenya who said, it's all very well you going on about how wonderful the iPhone is. But here in Kenya, you know, people are buying Android phones because that's all they can afford. That's all they have. So, we have to talk up Google. And that's what this person said to me. We have to talk up Google. We have to talk up Android accessibility because for many people, it's the only entry point to an accessible device that they have. And of course, as you know, as I know, the importance of having a smartphone these days is huge. I mean, it's everything. It's the ability to connect. It's the ability to keep in touch. But it's also the ability to be connected. And you know, as we move towards COVID passports in some parts of the world, you need it. You just need it. Or you might not be able to travel or go places or do things. So, you know, the ability to have these devices is key. And, you know, what I'm saying is choice is definitely out there. Yes, I've made mine, and I may live to regret that decision. Somebody someday might say, you know, have you tried this new Android feature? And then suddenly I'm thinking, why did I do this all my life? But that's kind of where we are, you know. And the great thing is now I am at the position that I have the choice to make the change if I wanted to. I think that's good as well. So yeah, I'm all for choice. And that's why I wanted you on, because I wanted to hear what other options are out there. To me, this third option, which now exists. And I think that's great to hear about.
Oh yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It was really great having you, Gleb. Thank you so much. And
thank you so much.
Best of luck with the product. You can find out more, of course, all about it at voxmate.com. But you can also search the Google Play Store on your Android device for VoxMate. VoxMate, all one word. Gleb, thank you.
Thank you so much. Email. We get email. We get your email every
day. Here's your mail today. Someone's at the door. Time now for emails. Let's get some emails and lots to get through, of course, today. I'm so glad we get your emails in because, you know, what I love about these emails, guys, is they just take us to a different level when it comes to our conversation here. Thoughtful, considerate, sometimes.
I thought they took us to a world where robots roamed free.
That's also true. That's right, because Brian and Emma are back with us this week. That's the names of our robots, Brian and Emma, who take care of that. And Brian's here first with an email from Greg, who has lots to pick up on from our conversations. Greg in Pennsylvania, of course, has been at us for a few weeks now. This email is entitled Tech...
A few weeks.
Years. Tech elitism is the subject here.
Hello, tech talkers. People all have differing skills. For example, I do not possess the great communication skills you radio people exhibit on a daily basis. Some time ago you had a listener writing in for advice on a tactile smartphone solution as she could not get to grips with a glass touchscreen. I wrote in to suggest the Revo keyboard, a device specifically designed for tactile voiceover control, as a potential solution for her, which you all dismissed as unnecessary. Despite your listener's request, Revo has successfully allowed many blind people who struggled with the smartphone to use one effectively. Another approach that has helped other people who struggled learning a smartphone is use of a tactile screen protector. That guy's in the US is one vendor providing this solution. My point is that there are solutions for many blind people who are struggling to use the smartphone, and I believe it is better to make people aware of these possible solutions than to say every blind person can just learn the thing and dismiss the reality that some people want to, but can't without additional help. That has been the basic point of many, many emails I have written to Tech Talk. I'm nearly as old as Tim's grandmother and go back in technology to the days when a computer took up an entire refrigerated room. My wife is a PhD mental health therapist and has difficulty operating the television, while I have very limited people skills. There is technology that can help almost every blind person of all skill levels, and it can make life easier, more enriching, and open many doors that are unnecessarily closed. That's why the Victorida Trek and Stream are so great. It's not baby technology, it's a tool that makes life better. It is barcode scanners, Bluetooth tags, way around tags, pen friends, Revo, feature phones, and so much more. For me, the smartphone is the Swiss Army knife, but specialized tools are there for the big jobs. Let's also help those struggling with the smartphone learn about devices to help bridge the gap. A tactile screen protector can make the difference for those who need a frame of reference they can touch. Revo makes a smartphone a push-button tactile device. Don't knock them, embrace the solutions.
Well, thank you, Greg, for that telling off. But actually, do you know what?
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. And, nope. You know, I think there's a bit of miscommunication here, probably from me.
Maybe because I wasn't on that episode. For the record, yes, I was you not on there that day.
No, you weren't. And Sean and I had a bit of a go at this, and I had a bit of a rant about it a couple of weeks back as well. I think the point that Greg is coming out with here, and I think he's absolutely right, is that the smartphone's not the answer to everything. And I think you're absolutely right on that, Greg. And I have to say, in my own experience, I have gone through this back and forth as well. You know, for example... buying the Victorida Stream, then not using the Victorida Stream, then using the Victorida Stream, then lamenting how wonderful the Victorida Stream is, and then not using it again. And just kind of going back and forward, because I'm a sighted guy trapped inside a blind person's body. That's how I feel about it, right? That's where I'm at. And I think a lot of partially sighted people are in that boat, where you don't have... You have some vision, so you feel the not even the necessity to use it, but you just want to use it. But then you remember how painful that is, at least in my case. I mean, I literally feel pain when I stare at a screen. It doesn't stop me doing it, but I just feel pain. I feel almost like someone is putting pins in my eyes every time I try and use a computer, but I still try and do it. And it's the same with the phone. It's the same with everything else. There are times when I switch off VoiceOver and I ramp up the text size as big as it'll go, and then I read about two lines and then switch it all off again and put VoiceOver back on. I wonder if that's maybe where I'm coming at this from a different angle to where you are, Greg, because if you're totally blind, you don't have that choice. You have only one way of doing this. And you want to do things well. And I think for me, I'm the same. I want to do it well, but I have it instinctively in my head that I have to do it sighted in order to do it well. But actually, that's rubbish. And the truth of that comes every time I use JAWS. And I always use this example because it's the only one I can really kind of properly explain myself with. And when I use JAWS, I feel so much more productive. I get through emails quicker. I get stuff done. Not with VoiceOver on the mic, terrible. But with with JAWS on the PC, yes. And I always think to myself, every time when I'm sitting there at that computer working away, why do I just embrace this more? Embrace the darkness, if that's
because
a thing.
You're human and you still want to desperately use the vision you have left.
Even though it's garbage.
Even though it's garbage. I went through that many years ago, desperately wanting to keep what I had and use what I had, even if I was seeing half of a word on the screen at one time because it was so large. Like, well, I can still see it. I can read that half a word, sort of. And it wasn't productive for me at that time. But we've talked about that. You know, what is that line? Where is that line where you're just like, you know what? I've lost enough vision to this point. I need to make a hard decision to keep using this or to go all in on a screen reader or a smartphone or something. But I think Greg's right. If it's whether it's a tactile overlay or a Victor Reader, you know, I bought a Victor Reader, the first gen, maybe 6 months before I had my first iPhone, and I got the iPhone and I tried to keep using the Victor Reader, but I'm like, why? For me personally, the iPhone is the better Swiss Army knife, as Greg put it. And so my Victor Reader has mostly stayed in a drawer. That doesn't mean it's not a great device for people who do want to use it, or people that for whatever reason just can't or won't use a smartphone. It's a great device, but it turned out that I just took to a non-tactile, you know, screen better, or not, well, I shouldn't say better, but the multitasking of it just worked for me. But that doesn't mean that the other devices are bad.
I mean, even if you look at specialist devices, think of the Cobalt talking microwave. It's got 27 buttons on it or something. They all speak. It's all totally accessible, but I only ever used 3.
Yeah.
So,
that's
why
I buy the RNIB one. The RNIB microwave has got 4 buttons on it. It's so much
easier. My microwave doesn't even talk, and I've only got bump dots on 2, the 30 seconds and the cancel. That's all I need.
Which is exactly what we've got now when the Cobalt died. Right. I only use 2 buttons on the current one. But I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, even though the smartphone with, you know, iOS and VoiceOver is totally accessible, it's got not just 27 virtual buttons, it's got 2,700 things it can do. And for some people, they just want simplicity and a shortcut. So, you know, you said about thinking that using your vision means that you'll do the job properly. Well, keystroke alternatives, you know, is a much more efficient way of driving a computer than using a mouse. You know, absolutely no question at all. So sometimes embracing the thing that you'll have to, you know, get to grips with in the end will be a more efficient way of doing it. But other times, you know, you just want a Victor Reader stream. You just want to be able to find the play button and press it. It's the one with the dot on it, you know.
Do you ever find, though, that people, when they talk about visual impairment, they tend to, I hear this a lot, and it's from charities, it's from, you know, people who talk, you know, on behalf of charities, or, you know, people who tend to run the campaigns, they tend to talk about blindness, and it feels as if, whether or not this is intentional or not, it tends to feel like blindness, you either go from something, as in full vision, to blindness, and that's it.
Right, and I often think, in-between.
What's the in-between bit? And I think sometimes the in-between bit's forgotten, and sometimes that in-between bit could be lifelong. Or the rest of your lifelong, you know? And that's the bit that I think sometimes gets forgotten. And I'm standing up for us, goodness me. But you know, that's the thing, right? It's difficult when you've got low vision, because you still try to use what's left, even though it's not that great.
Well, you're already dealing emotionally with some serious stuff, you know, losing vision, or, you know, especially if it's very progressive and keeps going emotionally and mentally, you're already dealing with so much. And now it's, well, how do I use a cell phone? How do I use, you know, an MP3 player, or how do I use, you know, whatever it might be? You know, he mentioned the Trekker, you know, the, you know, from Humanware, you know, how do I use GPS? It is hard when you're losing vision. You're like, well, I don't have enough vision to use this, but I'm not I'm not blind enough that I need this.
Exactly.
So where am I in the middle? What is best for me? And like I said, you're already dealing with the emotions, as we all know. You know, I don't care where you went blind, if it was birth or later or whatever. It's none of it's easy. You know, we're all dealing with something with it, and trying to find our place in it is hard enough. So trying to figure out the tech we need to utilize every day. Wow, that doesn't make it any easier, but yeah. So no, I think Greg makes some good points there.
And even when you get to blindness, you know, you are now registered blind. There's a million different types of that as well, with a range of usable vision. And so yeah, I think
Stephen
there will
has
always
five
be...
of them by himself.
That's right. Yeah, I get five.
depending on the time of day or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, there will always be a place for the Voxmate or the Victor Stream or whatever it might be, and long may it continue that there are choices, and that there is such a thing as a smartphone as well, because for a lot of people that will tick all the boxes.
I want to bring up this email that came in from Negative Julian, who has some thoughts following our conversation on the Amazon, what's it called, the Always Home Cam? That's the one, isn't it? It's the drone, isn't it? Yeah, the Always Home Cam. This is Negative Julian's thoughts.
Hello, gentlemen. I hope that I find you all still with a firm grip on life's cliff face. I was just listening to the latest podcast. It included enthusiasm for the Amazon Flying Home security drone. Keeping an eye on your home when away and checking up on elderly parents were cited as uses. Since I am a Negative Julian, you will surely not be surprised to know that I greeted this by throwing my hands up, shouting something unrepeatable, then sighing in despair at the foolishness of all mankind. Leaving aside the difficulty of keeping an eye on anything without a working eyeball, just 2 points. To fly a drone indoors while away, you will need to leave all your internal doors open. This is the very thing that any fire brigade will tell you not to do. The reason being that even a domestic internal door will help to hold back fire and smoke for an appreciable time. Why do you think that commercial premises are legally obliged to have self-closing fire doors? Secondly, I am certain that many elderly relatives, far from being delighted by your concern, would be exceedingly annoyed to find you checking up on them with a drone. Anyone fit enough to be living alone is also almost certain to value their privacy. If I was the relative in question, my response to the appearance of the drone would not be, "Hello, Stephen, thanks for being concerned for my welfare." It would be more likely something along the lines of, "Expletive deleted off, you control freak, spying pervert." The last thing that you would hear would be the sound of it being knocked out of the air and then being smashed into a thousand pieces as I jumped up and down on it. I will also point out that, as visually impaired people, it is far more likely that we will be the watched rather than be the watcher. Have you considered that a drone could have been flown into a room and landed before you enter? It could be sitting there like a giant spider, watching everything you do, thinking that you are alone and unobserved. Think about that. Please do not say that there will be privacy settings and you can always turn off the camera. By definition, if you are not the person flying it, you cannot be in control of what it is looking at. I admire your enthusiasm for all things tech and am grateful that you share your thoughts with us. I just wish that the thoughts were sometimes a little deeper. I love listening to the show. Keep up the good work. I also enjoy a good argument, so feel free to have a go. Yours, proudly argumentative Negative Julian.
Oh, I think that well one deserves done. A round of applause, does it not?
Yeah.
That's a well brilliant said. Email.
Julian
brilliant.
And Greg need to have lunch, I think.
They need to team them up.
Because again, I can't argue with any of that. I mean, everything he said that we said previously is correct, and everything he points out is absolutely correct. So, yeah, no, I want to be contrary here and argue, but I can't do it. So which one of you can do it?
All I can say is that technology is a tool. And, you know, you can bang a nail in with a hammer, or you can bash someone's head in. So absolutely, anyone can point out the negative uses of technology, but for the, you know, uses that Amazon are considering here, it's about
hang on, what is going on here? Right, Robin's getting argumentative. We've got robots reading the emails. Tim seems happy. What is going on?
I'm always happy. Wait a minute.
What is happening? Everything's upside down. The world is broken.
I think from the point of view of checking on relatives, I mean, if you had someone who had fallen and you weren't able to get to them, having something that could check the premises to see if there is actually somebody lying on unconscious on the floor, I think
Julian's point was that's not really what the suggestion is it? I mean, that makes perfect sense if you had that concern, but you know, when does privacy, even within your family, become a problem? Because right now, for example, I could drop in on my mum and dad who've got an Echo show in their living room. Mm-hmm. And I can just drop in on them, and I'm right there now.
If they've allowed it,
They have, right? And they understand that, and I made it clear to them. I explained to them, look, this means that I'll be able to connect if something happens, you know, whatever it might be. And they're like, okay, fine. But funnily enough, my dad said, well, I've got one of these Echo shows in my bedroom because he's got the Echo Show 5, and he likes it for having a clock and, you know, hearing the news in the morning and all the rest. And he said, I've turned it off on there. And I said, yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. But, you know, the fear is that, you know, somebody might not know that or understand that. And it does, I think, I can see Julian's points. There's a concern around privacy and autonomy and who has that autonomy and power over you in your own home, even though your doors are locked, even though you're, you know, safely in the home. You're still not secure with these devices. That's, I think, his point.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just going to say that I'm glad that he is curbing our enthusiasm with a note of realism.
Yeah.
And caution.
Because we get excited about the tech, don't we? We get into that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Well, and when it comes down to it, I mean, in all seriousness, I don't think the drone is the answer. But there are those times where what if an elderly family member or somebody falls that you want to drop in on? Even using a show with a camera, the camera can't see everything. And what if they've fallen and hurt themselves to where they're nonverbal or they've passed out and they can't answer the drop-in and you're calling out to them over and over and they're not responding to you? So, I mean, of course, you then at that point would probably just try to get there if you knew that they should be home and that they're not just left and gone somewhere, you know, and they're supposed to be there. So, I mean, I guess you just go check in on them at that point physically, personally. But having a camera of some kind is helpful to figure out, okay, did they fall? Have they knocked themselves out? You know, where are they? Is a drone the best way to do that? Maybe not. That's probably not the right way. But what else? I mean, the new Astro might be a better way, but that's only in testing, and we don't know if it'll ever really truly be released. But and for that price, I don't know. But yeah, it's an option. Is it the best option? Maybe not. But it is an option.
Your thoughts are always welcome. TechTalk at rnib.org.uk. We will, of course, be back next week with more. Join us for that if you can. For now, though, many thanks to Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet. Another brilliant show, Robin.
Yeah, thanks. I hope I didn't say anything too controversial this time. Thanks, guys.
I don't know what's happened to you. I don't know. Maybe the lordship has gone to his head. Tim Schwartz from LifeAfterBlindness.com. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. See you next week.